Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? A verdict has fallen once again for Alex Jones, who has been found liable for $950 million, almost $1 billion, in damages for the Sandy Hook conspiracy theories. Unbelievable. Of course, he's never going to pay this. Of course, it's just a public slap, a symbolic slap. But it is stunning that someone who may have not found the truth, but who was in his own pursuit of the truth in America for speaking out, for saying something, ends up being fined $1 billion. It is absolutely ridiculous, and it gives you the idea of how our system of justice are dead. It's over already. Give it up. All right. I would like to first begin with a thank you to Herb Encrusted, because I think he has found the problem with my Wi-Fi TV. A couple of shows ago, 6 days ago, 8 days ago, he was saying, with that Windows update, make sure that your settings don't have the shared update option enabled. They call it delivery optimization in Windows 10 settings, and it makes updates share with other people's computer as some sort of a group update type of thing. I think you got it absolutely right, because every time Windows update, there was a new update, the TV was stopping to work until I was restarting my computer. And today there were Windows update, and it didn't bug my TV. Now, it may be a one-off chance, maybe it will come back. I have difficulty establishing the causality of whether you caused the repair, but it's very likely that you may have caused the repair, because I shut down Windows update. When it detects an update is available, it opens up a sharing environment, like sharing files, and somehow it was messing with my TV, which is already on share mode with the computer. I think you may have touched exactly what it was, so thank you. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Frederick Corvinius says, use Linux, bro. I have a Linux computer right there, a server set on... What is it? Is it Red Hat? I think it's Red Hat or whatever. I don't remember. Oh, no, it's Ubuntu. I've put it on Ubuntu because I usually was working with CentOS, but apparently CentOS is dead. It's not being updated anymore. So I went with Ubuntu server, and I've been super happy with this server. It's been delivering the MP3s of the show. And I bought this server with the idea of an eventual development of Odyssey, because I think one day Odyssey will not be there anymore, or it will be there, but in a P2P form. And I would like to be prepared for that day. So I already have my server in case I need to host my own shows, because I think the library network eventually aims to not be the central entity controlling it and to let anyone host files on it. And that day I want to be prepared, and hopefully there is also a day where P2P streaming is good, because I'd like to do this. That would be absolute free speech because, well, other than Canadian laws, you know, because once you are the streamer, there's nothing that can stop you. Lendald Guntram shares a video. Have you guys seen that video? Pfizer.
Okay, dear colleagues.
Pfizer representative full hearing in the special COVID committee of the European Parliament. Yes, this has been talked about a lot. It is the fact that Pfizer has admitted in front of the European Commission that they didn't do research on whether the vaccine was stopping transmission, which is true. I mean, people want to act like, oh my God, they didn't do that. Well, it's you guys, the vaccine fans, who were bragging about, oh, it keeps you out of the hospital. It keeps you out of serious hospitalization. And so you guys knew about it. So don't act like, oh, this is a revelation from the Pfizer CEO. We all knew that this is what the mainstream discourse was supposed to be. despite many politicians saying falsely that, you know, get vaccinated to stop the spread. It didn't stop the spread. So yes, I've heard that. I'm happy that it's admitted clearly, but I knew that. Spindly Opinion says, does that mean we can sue every media figure who said the vaccine would stop transmission? I mean, in the current judicial system, you can't sue the system. It's only the system that can sue you. So no, you're not going to sue the major apparatus of the media system that is fully collaborative with the implementation of the Great Reset and the leftist mentality and the global empire that is installing upon our society. So no, you won't succeed at suing the media. By the way, I was looking for an image to illustrate Alex Jones today on the thumbnail. I type on DuckDuckGo because I've abandoned Google because Google is lying to me. Google doesn't give me the 4chan results. Google doesn't give me the Alex Jones picture. I type Alex Jones surprised on DuckDuckGo. Here's what I get. Some woman named Alex Jones. Are you kidding me? You know what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for whatever English woman is named Alex Jones. You know exactly what I'm looking for. And look at where they've put the actual result. Oh, at the bottom. And they give me just a line. And then it's other things. You're not going to make me believe that this is all the traces on the internet that are relevant to the team Alex Jones. This is bullshit. This is DuckDuckGo is falling for the exact same thing that Google has fallen for. Eventually, I will have to abandon DuckDuckGo. Holy shit, can we get on the internet a fucking search engine that can just work as good as Google in 1999? I'm not even demanding expansion of technology. I'm just demanding what we had. T.S. Vaz says, use brave.com. I'll give it a try. I'll check it out. Because Brave Browser is a serious thing. I don't know about their search engine. Total Grim sends a super chat. He says, could you please confirm that this show is moving at the speed of science? This is JF confirming that this show moves at the speed of science. That is, we are always ready to interpret the new science. Daughter of slain Sandy Hook principal, this is a moment years in the making, celebrating the $1 billion. I hope that they don't get anything because I think it's deeply unfair to sue Alex Jones for this. It's not like Alex Jones has supervised campaigns of harassment against them. It is that Alex Jones has explored a theory to explain a news event, and that should be open. It's not a hit piece that Alex Jones has done. It's not a hit piece on any one of these particular parents. Alex Jones has pursued a hypothesis of explanation. He turned out to be wrong, but that doesn't matter. You shouldn't be punished for trying to pursue the truth. However, bizarrely, you may do that. Look at the Alex Jones attorney. It looks like a guy who Alex Jones picked up as a homeless on the streets. You're going to be my attorney. I'm not questioning his talents and knowledge or anything. I don't know the guy. But holy shit, it sounds like an attorney from another generation, back in the days where there was still American freedom. Probably the only kind of guy you will go to defend Alex Jones. I guess that the very young woke attorneys, they certainly do not want to present themselves beside Alex Jones. Because I guess that it won't be good for their reputation going forward in the current context of cancel culture. Anyway, so yes, $1 billion, that's all there is to say. I hope, and Alex Jones has kind of encoded in his message to the jury last time, in the last trial, that he was prepared to do stuff that would keep him from going bankrupt, or he would go bankrupt and not lose his stuff. So I guess he's already transferred his properties, so it won't affect him very much, but it will be further fighting in the courts. NYC Man, you will remember this video of a guy in the McDonald's who was threatening people with an axe. And I was pointing out that he got attacked, but he may have caused the attack through his aggressive behavior, but he got punched and eventually got the axe out. But as far as the handling of the axe, he has not merely threatened the people who hit him. He was also threatening a woman like this directly in her face. So this guy was released without bail. Quotation mark on Fox News, "I'm not psychotic." Well, that's good to know. Now, he was released, but he was arrested again. A 31-year-old New York City man who was arrested and released without bail last month after terrorizing McDonald's patrons with an axe was arrested again this week for graffiti, stealing a bike, and evading police, and was again released without bail. Released again. There used to be this conception that if the judge lets you out of jail, you are lucky, you will be maintaining peace. Now in New York, it's free for all. It's you can commit three rounds of crimes before they will even consider keeping you in the jail. So this guy now is vandalizing, evading police, stealing bikes, and he's still out. He's still out there. So be careful, New Yorkers. I talked with this woman. Today I talked to, well, this woman, I answered to her email yesterday in the night. And today I talked with Ashley, the journalist from Undark Journal, a MIT journal that's looking currently into race and IQ. People will remember that I thought that Ashley was a sexy woman. Turns out it's just a black guy, but I spoke to him on Skype today. But before I talk to you about this conversation, I'm conversing with this woman, a streamer. She only has 66 viewers live right now on YouTube, but she's much bigger than this because she her main streaming platform, I believe, is Twitch. In any case, she's pretty big. She has videos right now, recent videos in the 20,000, 30,000 views. And people on the Discord have asked me, "Jeff, you have to go on her show." She makes a show called The Humanizing. And as I like to say, if you can humanize JF, you can humanize anyone. So people were telling me, "Jeff, you have to go to our show. It's called The Humanizing, and it's controversial personalities," and people were also telling me that she has mentioned me by name before, so she must know me. She's a little bit crazy, a little bit insane in the head. I mean, no disrespect, but I've interacted with her now. I said, look, well, let me read the whole emails, but she is a social worker, progressive woman. I've watched her show. Her show is high level, good show. Excellent show, although, you know, she's a progressive and a leftist. I would claim that she has been influenced by me. First, at the end of her show, she says, "Good night, much love, and see you all tomorrow." Holy shit, she says it exactly like me. Secondly, she says that she has watched a lot of my stuff back in the days. Thirdly, The Humanizing is very, and all of our videos are very much about fairness and about, oh yeah, you know, Hassan Piker says this, but that's a straw man. Here's the real thing that the other guy said. I think that she is very much inspired by me. I don't know if it's unconscious, but of course she is making a case for the other side of politics. Blacksmith Waffen says, "Inseminate, that may be hard given my current marital status and the fact that she has a husband." People were asking for bathwater samples. I do not know that she has a bathwater sample that she's selling right now, but she's saying that there will soon be merch being offered, so perhaps eventually. But for now, it doesn't, it seems more like an intellectual show. And you know, so I do it for my crowd. If you guys want me to go on a show, of course I'll go invite myself, and of course I want to do it. But she starts accusing me of, "I'm afraid that you're gonna lie if I let you on my show to advance your political agenda." Are you fucking kidding me, woman? Papa JF doesn't lie. Why would Papa JF lie? I mean, let me read the whole thing, okay? Let me read my whole interaction with her. So I start and I say, "Hello, not so erudite. My community told me you were hosting a podcast with controversial figures and they would like me to appear on it. Let me know if you are interested. We can talk all sorts of things from right-wing persecution, media smears, science, the origins of life, up to the changing dynamics of social media and business on the web. Best, Jean-François Garrier, PhD, author of The Revolutionary Phenotype, host of JFG Tonight. What's up?" And so she's a social worker, and one thing that I don't know if she self-defines as a social worker, but she's a psychologist, therapist of some kind, who has worked with men who have been sexual abusers and stuff like this. So she has seen a lot of evil in her life, and she doesn't mind. She thinks that her job is to improve people. But one thing about the people who end up in that business, they are all fucked up in the head. And look at her answer. And this is very surprising of an answer given the quality of her show, because her show is about fairness. But I saw that in that answer that she has a blind spot. She's fair for what she can see and hear, but she's unfair when she can paranoid. She goes paranoid and she imagines future possible lies. She says, "Hi, Jeff. I am decently familiar with your work, so I need to talk to think about this. A big rule I truly like to stick with is I won't have people on who I believe may lie to me and the audience to garner sympathy for a political cause I disagree with. I have watched you interlocute before, and it's beyond evident to me that you're incredibly bright. You're also a skilled debater. You also advocate for a world that I believe will be worse for everyone. If I'm being honest, I don't know if I believe that you will be honest with me. I am open to considering this, but I would need to be convinced that you plan to be honest about your life, even about things that are tough or uncomfortable. I also know that I am asking a lot. I just want you to know where I honestly stand on this. If you're not comfortable with that or feel that the ask is too large slash too offensive, I fully understand. Cheers, erudite." Sorry, I had muted myself. What the fuck is wrong with this woman? She doesn't know me. Why would I lie? I don't have a political agenda. I acknowledge on an everyday basis here on this show that there is no hope for our side of politics. We will lose the entirety of our society. We will lose everywhere, and our only hope is in fleeing. So, what is it that I could lie about to a crowd that would advance that political agenda? The only thing I'm asking is don't reveal, details about my current life, my location, don't dox me. But what does she think I could lie about that would advance the right wing? I have acknowledged that the right wing will lose. I have told my audience, don't engage in things that you think will be persuasive toward the normies. It won't. Secondly, why would I lie about myself or my life? I have nothing to defend. I have engaged in such coverage that has ruined my reputation. There's nothing left to defend. All the normies hate me. They don't even know me. They read articles about me that they think I'm an evil rapist. It's like, what kind of lie can I say that will get me out of this? Nothing. There's nothing to defend. How could she think that I would go through all of the troubles I've went through to actively and self-induce a cancellation on the public space, but that I would lie to her in 2022 because I want to look good in front of her audience? She's insane. So I replied to her, sounds pretty crazy of an allegation to me. I've been the most honest person on YouTube throughout my career. I know of no one who has ever claimed based on any evidence that I'm lying. I have no idea what could make you think that. Probably some unresolved trauma from people who have nothing to do with me. In any case, if you ever want to do it, let me know. I can assure you that there is no reason for me to lie, and that I would never lie. Let me ask you this. Why do you think I would lie in a relatively mundane interview when I have shown I was willing to pursue the truth about scientific matters to the cost of my own reputation, social respect, and financial life? Seems like a stretch to me that I would go all this way pursuing what I think is the truth for years, at extreme cost to myself, only to lie to an interviewer in 2022. There is no subject off limits, and you can ask anything you like, but sometimes the truth is not what they say on Wikipedia, and I will defend in all cases the truths that I know of. On your side, you are free to believe what you want, or do the thing that so many people fail to do nowadays, admit that one doesn't know. Listen, I don't know what crossed her mind. To me, it reveals that she's probably one of these women in these circles of feminist progressives who have a great imagination for future harm that could be done to them. And they end up doing exactly what they criticize us for, which is treating other people with heuristic judgments. Basically, she's suggesting, I'm a right winger, I'm a guy, I'm likely to lie on her show. That's basically what it is. And she has no reason, she has no objective facts on which she bases that claim. It's just her impression, her feeling. The thing is, if we lived in a world of feelings like this, everyone could be a potential threat to everyone, and then we would abolish civilization all of a sudden. It will be everyone for himself, and the most paranoid wins. But I don't know. I thought that given that she has been treating guests and treating clips in an intelligent manner, I expected more from her. More than an empty, feeling-based accusation for nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it doesn't look like it's out of possibility. I think she's displaying some openness. I will certainly accept her invitation if she invites me. But you cannot treat someone, you cannot have a podcast called The Humanizing and assume without evidence, without previous basis, without anything, that someone is potentially a liar. And on top of it, it's quite interesting, her phrasing. She says, I truly stick to this rule. So that's one of her basic principles. I won't have people on who I believe may lie to me and the audience to garner sympathy for a political cause I disagree with. Isn't that an interesting intermingling of the truth and the morals, because she's telling you, I would have someone on who's lying if he's lying for a political cause that I agree with. But I wouldn't have someone on who's lying for a political cause that I disagree with. I believe that we have a not so erudite, a Hume jumper. She jumps from the world of truth and moral, alternatively, as desired. She mixes the two. Truth is not truth, and morals are not morals. Sometimes it's good to hide a truth if it's for a good reason, and sometimes it's good to say a lie if it's for a good reason, a good political reason. Extremely disappointed in this woman, but still open, because I have an open heart, and if there had been any other title for the public space, it could have been the humanizing in a way. I will not dismiss her invitation in the future due to this breach of etiquette and her extreme lack of respect and her inconsistencies and moral flaws that she displays in this email. I would still be very much willing to speak with her, so the invitation is still up. Total Grimm says, is she moving at the speed of science? I don't think so, bro. I think that she is moving at the speed of social work. I'll be back in 10 seconds. All right. Faceless Rogue says, just encourage our audience to join the JFG Tonight show, but my guess is they are simps. I mean, it's something to watch her show. Let me tell you, I've been through a couple of videos. Holy shit. She has quite the specialty. She talks about the incel themes in an empathic way. In a way that shows understanding of the incels, but with the goal of getting them out of this belief. So basically, she starts by she always starts her endance in this on this theme by saying, like, yeah, the incels are right, you know, they are ugly, they don't know what to do with women, and yeah, it's a desperate situation. And so, and then she gets slowly into the progressive aspect. But we have to stop the violence. Violence is not the solution. And you're not going to fix this easily. You need to work a lot, and you need to display to people that they are accepted and loved. There is a big problem with this social worker mentality. And actually, if she was to interview me, this is one of the themes I would like to touch upon. Every time you help someone in society as a social worker, because our whole philosophy is based around harm reduction. So basically, she's saying, if my intervention results in a more happy person, a more happy criminal who will go on to commit less crimes, then I've improved society. And if he can do some sort of an improvement to society, then it's even good. I've contributed to active good towards society. And that's kind of looking at reality through a blindfold. I would like to ask her the question, what if some of the people you save through your help are actually improved and actually improve society and actually improve their own lives, and they go on to make babies? And now you have genes in the next generation that may not have been there if you hadn't helped that person. But you have genes now that are there because of you. And those genes are more likely to be associated with the crimes and the misbehaviors and whatever it is that they were suffering from before you fix them. What if you improve their lives by this much, but their grandchildren end up on average killing one of your descendants? Would you still do it? That is the great question. That is the question of someone who wants to take charge of the ensemble of their consequences in society, not just, oh, I see happiness, therefore it's better. I would love to know if not so erudite would still help a man, knowing if she had the whole follow-up of the universe that she can play in a computer or whatever, would she still help a man whose grandchildren will end up killing her innocent grandchildren? Because that's what we're dealing with. Whenever we are dealing with the state helping people, we are farming into society people who will be more needing of that help. And any harm that you may fix through gratuitous help imposed by the state, including humanitarian help, will end up farming more people that are needy in the next generation. If you don't help these people also, they're going to end up committing crimes. So inevitably, when you try to fix something in society, you need to let society fix itself rather than try to do it yourself. And that's a much tougher thought process. That is the conservative thought process. A conservative, a right winger who cares about not only can I improve the world as I see it, but can I deeply improve it in a way that is sustainable across time and in a way that doesn't end up causing more hidden harms than displayed harms. I'm very frustrated that leftists like her have these cognitive labyrinths inside their head that allows them to avoid engaging with the truth. So her specialty here, she shows what it is. It is to say, oh, maybe you're going to lie to me. Well, yeah, maybe, maybe the next guest you're going to have is going to lie to you. Maybe everyone lies. But I don't lie. There's no evidence that I lie. I've never been caught in a lie. There's never someone who's went on the internet and showed, oh, look, a recording of JF saying two opposite things. So what are the chances that I'm 1 hour live every day since 2016 and that I'm a liar? Some random bloke says, come on, JF, everyone is allowed to be ethnocentric and right-wing, except for white people. Well, I agree. Did I say the contrary? Did I say anything against this? Go away, says JF. If the British use therapy to deal with prison overcrowding in the 18th century instead of shipping convicts to Australia, we would never have this great nation today. That is true. That is true. Every time you save a prisoner from his criminal lifestyle, an entire continent is not born because of it. I have images in my head popping of a philosophical problem. If baby Australia, if you could go back in time and you could kill baby Australia, would you do it? Oh my God. Shrig Mamel sends a super chat. He says, why do some humans evolve to be autistic? I like this question. There was a great researcher at Duke who once asked me this question. And I kind of felt he was a normie researcher. And I kind of felt that there was a suggestion in his question that, hey, maybe I'm the right guy to answer this question for him because I'm autistic as fuck. There was kind of a little arrow sent at me, but he was asking me, JF, so what do you think, JF, about autism? and evolution. Well, I think that first, if you want to talk about evolution and the truth, you need to give up the conception of a disorder. Disorder is not a concept that exists in biology. There are genes. These genes create phenotypes on a certain probabilistic basis, and these phenotypes in certain contexts may be good for reproduction. In other contexts, they are less good for reproduction. So let's approach it that way. Why would you evolve to be autistic? Well, I mean, just look at the superiority of the autist lifestyle in current society, and you're going to have a good idea. What are autists good at in this world? They're good at not subscribing to cancel culture, not falling for deceptive attempts by mobs, not falling, being exceptional enough in their pursuit of some interest that they have a shot at doing something exceptional, being cognitively different enough to come up with solutions that the normies never could have. The whole history of science is filled with that. What else? I mean, as if that wasn't enough. Also, they invest less energy in social maintenance. So, do you realize just the cost of maintaining a social network? You have to look at the normies. I observe them sometimes with telescopes. You have to dress your children. You have to put them in the car. You have to drive. They start crying. You have to go buy food at the grocery store or at the gas station, just to get to a place where you can socialize around the barbecue, where you expose your children to all sorts of risk, disease. You invest energy. You spend calorie. Then you eat calories because you do a barbecue. If social life was a vehicle, it would be a high carbon footprint vehicle that we would outlaw. Like, just remove friendship from this world. You have, I mean, the global warming may be resolved. People are wasting a lot on social maintenance, and they are exposing themselves to a lot of risk. Very often you can develop a good friendship, but if there's an event of betrayal, the person ends up hating you much more than they would care about you if you never talk to them. So in a way, engaging with the social world is hoping to get higher, but taking the risk of going lower in your reputation, in your business opportunities, and your survival opportunities. So the way I see the evolution of human societies in the last hundreds of thousands of years, the autist had all these advantages. And on top of it, if the autist decided that he was going to hunt rabbit in the forest to save his family from starving, it would be like, tack, 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 rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. All hang up, all super straight on a rope, clean. There you go, lady. 25 rabbits. You should have enough for a couple of months. So yeah, the question is, how did the normies ever survive? And I believe that they survived through empire building, through this. In fact, this is a term that's been on my mind for 3 days. I wanted to introduce it, but since you super chat me about it, I'm going to introduce the term today. It's the normiplex. There is a weave of normie collaboration that advances onto society like a blob, and it's kind of excluding the autist and the neurodivergent. It's like, oh, this guy is bizarre. Oh, this guy is paranoid. Oh, this guy is he likes mathematics too much. And that's how the normies succeed. But I don't think that they have a raw advantage over the autist in the wild, in terms of self-survival. Go away, says Jeff. Artists are massively overrepresented in the trans community. Is it possible that the push for trans ideology in the MSM is an attempt by the psychopathic elite to eliminate the autism threat by luring them into into non-reproductive lifestyle? That is a very, very conspiratorial thinking there. Okay. I don't think that is the right thinking to explain this fact, although this fact is true. In the young generations, there is a link between diagnosis of autism and transsexualism. I believe that the explanation for it is when you look first at these new generations of artists, they're not artists like me. We used to have the Asperger distinction, which was talking about artists that become scientists, basically. But that is not what the young artists of today. The young artists of today are a massive crowd that would have never qualified as autistic before, that ended up being diagnosed with autism because the state gives reimbursement to insurance companies and hospitals when they can have the official diagnosis. So basically at this point, autism diagnosis means slightly feels different than normal. And that pretty much gets you an autism diagnosis at 6 years old. So there is let's not forget that there's a correlation between this abusive diagnosis and transsexualism. Basically, what I claim is that the diagnosis is not natural and it's not a fact of the world. It is just a label. So then the question becomes not why is there a correlation between autism and trans? Why is there a correlation between being somewhat weird and trans? And now it becomes much more easy to explain, you see? If you just invoke this, you understand that, oh yeah, what leads you to the trans lifestyle is some sort of revolt against society, revolt against the norms that you feel are being imposed on you by nature or by your parents or by society. And so, of course, the most bizarre children that would end up being labeled autistic in 2022 end up a lot in these trans things. Also, one thing to note about this type of personality, the new autist, and by new I mean expanded definition, expanded to the point of being useless, I claim. But these new artists, they are weird and revolted, but the way they like to interact with the world is just give me the fucking rules. If I was to summarize the mind of this large contingent of artists, just give me the rules. I don't want to care. What is it that you expect from me? Oh, you want me to do this, this, and that to look like normal? Okay, I'll do it. That's basically their attitude with the world. That's how they interface with the normie plex. It's like, okay, it sucks that there's a normie plex, but if there's going to be these arbitrary demands on my social skills, you might as well be clear about your rules. So please tell me what to do. What do you want me to do? Sit there? Okay, say hi when someone enters the room. I'll remove my hat. Okay, I'll do it. But it has to be stated because don't expect it from me. Don't expect it from me if you don't say it to me. That's pretty much how they think. But I think there's a disadvantage to that form of thinking, which is what happens when the normie plex tells them the greatest thing you can ever be is a trans. It is the summum of oppression. You've been oppressed by nature itself. You've been oppressed by your own cells in your own body that have stemmed the penis where there shouldn't be one. And it's like the artist against this says, all right, that's the rule? Okay, I'm a trans. That's how you obtain social success? Okay. So they are set on a path. Unfortunately, those people, especially who get diagnosis of autism extremely young, they get set on a path that is extremely pathological with the relationship with their parents. Their parents think that they're stupid in the head. And so they explicitly say everything to them because the lady at the school said that's how you treat an autist. And so they're habituated to have all the rules stated, and they're kind of okay with this. And at some point, the rules that comes is not remove your hat or be polite with grandma. It's cut your dick. And a couple of autists are not able to process it out because they've been so reinforced to do whatever it is that is said to you by the lady in front of the class. They basically have mistuned revolt behavior. And in a way, that's what's so vicious about going for children trends. It's because the normal or hormonal development involves developing a resistance to order around teenage years. That's when you develop your true, okay, I am myself, and whatever you say is not my reality, and it doesn't have to be. I don't have to accept your moral orders. So when they go for trans children at 8, 9, they are manipulating a particularly vulnerable individual. Someone who hasn't grown yet the hormonal structure to have a brain that says no. All of this to answer to Shrigmamel's super chat. I hope it gives you an answer. Some random bloke sends another super chat. He says, left-wing Jews are now claiming their own people aren't right-wing and ethnocentric enough for Israel. An article by the Times of Israel. Leading New York Reform rabbi launches push against anti-Zionism movement, which he views as a threat that is existential to the Reform movement. A prominent Reform rabbi in New York City is launching a program that aims to push back against anti-Zionism within the religious movement as younger U.S. Jews slide away from steadfast support for Israel. I want to tell the rabbi, I'm not worried. Yes, there are probably a bunch of young Jews who are slowly charmed by, you know, the Palestinian cause and the atrocities that are done to them and the fact that they are human beings without status and that the U.S. doesn't seem to care. But I'm not worried. It's like your threshold is extremely easy. It's like the hair trigger, you know. Oh, we need to get the Jews to support ourselves more. I'm not worried. I think that your people has demonstrated its own ability to develop its own normiplex of sort. And I believe that the Jewish people will be fine. I do not share the worries of the rabbi here. Socialist Republic of Victoria sends a super chat. He says, Jeff is an OG autist. Exactly. I am the archetype. So today I spoke with the black guy who's writing an article for the MIT outlet On Dark. And I get a better idea of what he wants to do. Basically, he wants to write an article about Ariel Suarez. You have to rewind the show if you want the definition of normiplex. It's my new innovation. It's a term that will come back a lot. Normiplex. It is the weave of interactions and social binding and trust relationships between the normies that ensures that no one possibly can come out of the system with original thought. It includes censorship. It includes the Twitter blue check marks. It includes the normies making barbecues and family, etc. I spoke with this guy who's writing an article. and he's digging old 4chan posts from 2018, and he's digging that, you know, that that list of SNPs that are significantly linked to intelligence, and how it says, look, this is 1,000% more present in Europeans than in Africans. This is 5,000% more present in Europeans than Africans. And so he wants to write an article about how the original authors of this study, which identified the genes linked to intelligence, he wants to write an article about how these authors didn't know that 4chan would eventually use their knowledge for the purpose of talking about race and IQ. And it's kind of a weak approach to the question, and I kind of pushed him on, maybe you want to go further, because just hitting on the head of racist, the mainstream media has done this plenty. I said at the end of the interview, why don't you address the really important question here, which is, what if these genes that were found were linked to intelligence? What if Pfeiffer was right and the 4chaner was right that they are distributed differently across races? Would it be terrible if people use that to guide decisions in their personal life? What if there's a bunch of 4chaner who look at this table and say, all right, I'm going to date either a European or an Asian or maybe a Jew because I expect higher IQ in my children based on this table? What would be so dramatic about this? And aren't they entitled to it? That's where I tried to push him, and he said, those are fair questions. Those are fair questions. That's all I got from him. But basically, he wanted to challenge that the table was fair, because he says in this original study, they did an attempt at replication on African Americans, and it didn't come out significantly, meaning the genes that were found to be linked in European populations wouldn't be predictive within the African American population. But I gave him alternative interpretations of this because I don't think it's true. I said, first, here are the articles of Pfeiffer that shows that these PGS, these polygenic scores, are externally valid. You can put them on a population across the world of Europeans, Jews, Tunisians, Africans, and it's going to correlate with their intelligence level from their country. So first, this, like, he was trying to focus only on the 4chan table, and I was like, do you expect 4chan to be as scientific as a guy who actually worked on this, like Pfeiffer, David Pfeiffer? And so I was giving him all the work from Pfeiffer. And then I said also, this study, when they do their test on African Americans, they try to see if within the African American population, there would be a predictability of their genes. The problem being, you have selected an extremely tight group here. Only the African Americans. Add to this the fact that the sample is very small, 1,500. Add to this the fact that in the US, there is affirmative action in universities. So you might reach the baccalaureate level in the university easier if you're black than if you're white. So this becomes a blurred measure of your actual intelligence, because the blacks, the Asians, and the whites who make it to a university program are very much different. They have different intelligence levels. So all of this taken together, and the fact that Pfeiffer has a better method, which is don't just test it within a subset of African Americans. Put the African Americans along with the Europeans, the Asians, put everyone. Pfeiffer has done it on 15,000 people. 15 times more than the original study. And he has found a massively significant correlation. So all in all, I believe, and he was trying to make me say basically that since they have tested external validity, it cannot be the case that Pfeiffer is right. But that's not how it works. They may have tested external validity poorly because they found the exact answer that they wanted to hear, which is others know. We can't do anything with the African Americans because our genes don't align. It doesn't work. But Pfeiffer has done the real work, and he's done it much more seriously than them. So all in all, I think I've made a good case for just the conception that, yeah, you know, people should just accept that there's a very high likelihood that the genes that cause intelligence differences in a population are also causing differences in intelligence between populations. And while we don't have the precise best scientific method to resolve that question in full, it's the most likely hypothesis at this point. John Drake says, I could see CRISPR used to commit genocide by replacing certain ethnicities' genes with other ethnicities' genes. It's exactly what's going to happen. There's always going to be, I mean, the minute you change one letter of DNA, you're already genociding this letter of DNA. Now, it's a matter of how many you're going to do, and eventually we're going to call it a racial genocide, but it's exactly what people are headed for if they subscribe to this CRISPR crap. Ariel Suarez says, could it be possible to have David Pfeiffer here in the show someday? I could try. I don't know him. I've never talked to him. I can try. I will try. In fact, the journalist was suggesting that maybe I'm the guy behind the 4chan post, but I just don't want to say it. But he says, I will believe you on your word that you're not. And then he thought that I was friend with Pfeiffer. I was like, I'm not the poster on 4chan. I'm not a friend with Pfeiffer. I'm just a guy who searches for the truth. And he was like, yeah, but the 4chaners are adoring you. They keep mentioning you. They say, bring this data to JF. And it's like, yeah, I'm a known personality, especially back then. I was telling him, back then my videos were 20,000 to 100,000 views. My statements were pretty public back then. Faceless Rogue says, didn't they give mosquitoes CRISPR? So when the mosquito bites you, you get CRISPR? That's not their goal. They didn't want to spread CRISPR within humans, but they did attempt CRISPR modification of mosquitoes to control their population in a very bizarre way. It's like they've inserted genes that kill the children or the grandchildren of the mosquito. Because what they want is they want basically female mosquitoes to be traps. Traps for male mosquitoes who inject their sperm in them so they think they have babies, but the babies eventually die. So they want a delayed effect. And it's like, is it really smart to have a natural population of insects with carrying molecules that have delayed anti-reproductive effects? Not a very good idea. I'll be back in five seconds. All right. I want to withdraw an opinion that I had expressed. I had expressed that there was a video here of the explosion of the Crimean Bridge. And I had expressed that it seemed to me like a boat was arriving and was exploding the road. We now have a clearer version of the video. It's clearly not a boat. It was just a random wave of water that happened before the explosion. Look at this. wave of water, clearly. In the other video, we were just seeing the point of this, and it looked to me like it was a boat. But that to me is clearly a wave of water. And then you see, and you see that the explosion hasn't begun yet. And then boom. So, not a boat, to me, that looks much more like water. it seems that Russia was right. Putin was right. Putin was right in thinking that it was a truck blowing up. Or it's something with the truck. It's not something that came from underneath. NYT fluffs Biden, says lies are folksy. The article says, do you remember back in the days when they were quantifying all the lies of Trump? And they were intense on this. They were like, Trump has lied 11,253 times since he was in the White House. Well, now NYT explains that when Biden lies, it's because he's rounding the edges. He's making it more appealable to a wider public. Look at this quote. Biden's folkiness can veer into folklore, with dates that don't quite add up and details that are exaggerated or wrong, the factual edges shaved off to make them more powerful for audiences. Why can't Trump do this? Why was every time that Trump was doing this, and we were saying, yeah, okay, it's a lie, it's more like Trump saying the numbers that he remembers, and maybe the number is not exactly precise, but people get the message. But when Biden does, and people were telling us, no, Trump is an habitual liar. He's a pathological, psychiatric case of lie. But when Biden does it, suddenly it becomes to make them more powerful for audiences. Absolutely ridiculous. Sweden refuses to share results of Nord Stream pipeline explosions. So that's just a way to ensure that Russia doesn't get their detail. Of course, what will this investigation reveal? That it's the US, Poland, or Ukraine getting together, or one of them doing it. So, of course, Sweden doesn't want to cooperate with Russia. Tulsi Gabbard plans to campaign for GOP Senate candidate Don Bolduc after suddenly leaving the Democrat Party. Gabbard said that the Democrat Party is controlled by fanatical ideologues who hate freedom. She also said that they were anti-white. Very important. Okay, I'm happy for Tulsi. I think it's great that she's already on the other side and rooting for the Republicans. So be it. T.S. Vaz sends a super chat. He says, how goes the moral signal? The moral signal has not advanced at all because I've been spending my days on the Goldbeck conjecture. I have some amazing stuff on the Goldbeck conjecture. And it's kind of addictive because it's like, maybe in a couple of days I will have a proof. And I do this for days and then it's not, oh no, I forgot I have another thing to control for. I've been for months now on that addiction of maybe I'm getting close. Oh yes, I'm getting close. Oh yes, I'm getting close. And yet never reaching a proof. So I'm sorry about this, but I think it's better I go down the barrel and I go down the sewers. And when you have an addiction like this to something that is healthy, I have to pursue it because my brain is not going to be in the mood of writing the moral signal. Look, I do this all day long. I don't think I should show it on camera, but I think it's blurry enough that a mathematician will not be able to recover what it was. but it's too interesting for me. I have to pursue it, and one day I will hit a brick wall, perhaps, and then I won't like doing it anymore. Perhaps that will be in a couple of days, couple of weeks, and then I'll get back to the moral signal. But unfortunately, there's no creation without the drive. There's no creation without wanting to do it. By the way, is there someone who's a mathematician in the chat who could do something for me? I have been looking on it for the internet. That would allow me to resolve a lot of things that I'm trying to resolve. Can you find an upper limit, upper bound that is tight enough on the sum of the reciprocals of primes? 1 over p1, 1 over p2 plus 1 over p3. Can you find? I have the lower bound, which is on Wikipedia already. Has anyone ever heard of an upper bound that works, that can be computed, like log of n plus whatever? I need an upper bound on the sum of the reciprocals of prime. I know that Merson Mertens has kind of proven that there was a constant C that could play that role of the upper bound, but I have never been able to find one that functions. And I need this. I need to bound my stuff. Go away, says Jeff. We'll have to delete this episode after the stream. Ariel Sorez says, way above my understanding, lol, and here I am struggling with matrix operation. Okay. Raised Fist sends a super chat. He says, your audience think that there is a reason for each mutation. Correct them. Don't bullshit an answer. Take blue eyes, for example, random mutation. They don't prevent you from reproducing, so the gene is not wiped out from the population. End of the story. This doesn't have to be true, what you just said. Your claim is that blue eyes is a neutral mutation. That's a claim. It's a possibility. It doesn't have to be. You don't have any facts to prove that blue eyes don't get an advantage. You talk of eradicating the gene from the population. That's not the only way a gene can stay or be increased in the population, or not increased. It's all about, does it impact the quality of your babies and the number of babies they will do? And isn't it realistic to think, given that blue eyes are associated with a recessive trait, that it could be associated with a marker for the quality of genes? Because if you reproduce with anything, your blue eyes will eventually disappear. If you reproduce only with people of your race, and in fact a subset of your race, your blue eyes might stay across generations. Is it possible that it's a marker for genetic quality? Is it possible that it's a marker for neoteny? Because babies are often born with blue eyes, and eventually they get melaninated via sun exposure and melanin production in the body. Is it possible that blue eyes, it has been expressed before, the theory that blue eyes would constitute a test for fidelity for husbands and wives? If you marry someone who has blue eyes, you will be in a better position to know if they have betrayed you with someone who doesn't have blue eyes. Perhaps that's an advantage. All of this, and what if blue eyes just happen to give you an arbitrary advantage in the sexual beauty evaluation? I mean, blue eyes are more beautiful, right? The models, the top models, they all want blue eyes. The typical most beautiful woman, the typical Slavic, thin, blonde, blue-eyed woman, that is beautiful. So perhaps it allows you to get better husbands. You don't know any of this. You don't know that any of what I just said is false. And so you cannot affirm that blue eyes are just a random mutation. So no, you are wrong, raised fist, and my audience, whoever it is that you were interacting with, are absolutely correct at pointing that you are wrong. Covey Clown says, JF, ever heard of Yakub? He created the white race. Ah! I never heard of him. I don't think he created the white race. Raised Fist says, Jeff, okay, I understand. Nobody knows. What I meant is that there is not necessarily a reason for everything. There is not necessarily a reason for everything. That is true. But be careful. Be careful. There could be a reason for most things. Go Away says, I have blue eyes, even though both my parents have brown eyes. I am a possible divine miracle. No. You know, if you go on 23andMe and you do your genetic test, they will tell you what are the chances that you have blue eyes or brown eyes. And it's not as dichotomic as presented in school. It is not like, yes, you can have two parents with brown eyes and at a certain percentage of chance, you will have blue eyes, especially if they both have a hidden copy of the recessive gene. Covey Killer Clown says, look it up. I was kidding. It's from the 5% nation. Okay, I might look it up, but I might not because it doesn't seem very important. Putin says that Russia is ready to send natural gas to Europe via Nord Stream 2. Okay, it seems that there is one line that was not damaged and that he's ready to send natural gas. So I guess that Europe will be eventually constrained and eventually it will be like, either we die of cold or we accept the gas from Putin. And finally, oh yeah, this I talked about at the beginning of the show. This is our final news item. People were asking me about this admission. Yes, the Pfizer exec admitted that we never tested COVID for vaccine, the COVID vaccine against transmission. That I knew. And I knew that the politicians were lying when they were saying help end the epidemic. But that's what it is. We've been seeing them pull this lie right in front of our eyes, and we called it out when it happened. And now you have the Pfizer CEO who stood silent while these lies were being told. Now he's on the public space admitting it. Why don't you admit this a year ago? Johns sends a super chat, sends pants. It's just an image of pants. Bird Flu William says, did someone make the Dr. Terrible reference to $1 billion? $1 billion. Thank you.